This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris. You're listening to The Morning Run. I've got Tan Chung Han here with me. Now, it's time for Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. And as we get in the Raya mood ahead of Aidilfitri tomorrow, we should probably be looking at personal finance tips or tips to make sure that our personal finances aren't thrown out of whack during the festive season. Joining us on the show is Anwar Shu'ub, Head of Islamic Financial Planning with VKA Wealth Planners. Morning, Anwar. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Melissa.
Okay.
Thank you for inviting me too.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Yeah. Before anything, Selamat Hari Raya, just in case we forget to wish you at the end.
Yeah, Selamat Hari Raya to you too.
Can I get mine in as well? Yeah, Selamat Hari Raya, Maaf Zahir dan Batin.
Maaf Zahir Batin, that's right.
Okay. Yes, same to
so,
you.
So, during the holy month of Ramadan, the idea is to curb our excesses.
Yes.
And that includes curbing our spending as well.
Yeah.
But as we head into Raya, sometimes, you know, we're unleashed and it becomes this overbearing need to spend and to indulge.
Yeah.
So how can we make sure that we've got our finances in check, especially in the lead up to Raya?
Okay. We're looking at the Hari Raya, everybody excited to enjoy during the Hari Raya with the family and all the relatives together. And especially for the young one, they love to receive their green packet.
Mm.
So this is something that need to be prepared by the older one so in the family. So this is how it's being practiced year in, year out. Yeah. Okay. And to do that, we need to be careful with our finance, because when we're talking about green packet itself, it's about our finance, personal finance. For the people that to prepare the finance for the Hari Raya, you must be careful. For example, if they want to spend something that is not budgeted, then we may face trouble in the end of the month. So I would like to bring you through some lists that you need to prepare.
Mm.
For example, preparing the budget for you to spend during the Raya time and preparing the budget for you to spend for the your shirt and so forth.
So, Anwar, what do you think is the highest proportion? So, what do we spend on the most when it comes to Raya, generally? Do you know?
Yeah. Most people would like to go for expensive shirts.
Mm, Baju Raya.
Yeah, okay, Baju Raya. So, this is the kind of things that you must be careful. We not necessary for us to spend as for an expensive. It's not necessary to be expensive. You just need to find something newer that you have in your stocks that you have it now. So you may not want to buy a new one.
You don't have to buy a new one.
Yeah.
Right. And also, when it comes to budgeting, we're not just looking at just one day, right? The first day of Hari Raya. We have to budget also for the pre-Raya spending.
Correct.
And also perhaps post-Raya spending, because we know there could be open houses that you may have to host or attend.
Yeah.
You've got to buy the gifts, right? So give us a sense of the timeline here when it comes
to
budgeting.
Technically, Raya is a month.
A month, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, correct. If you're aware, every year, sometime they celebrated Raya even after Shawwal.
Oh, wow.
You can see that they have open house even after Shawwal, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So these are the things that people may overspend. Eh? So that's why you must be careful, especially the one that preparing for the open house and so forth. Yeah? You may spend more than what we have, yeah? Especially the one that using the credit card. Yeah? Then next things is that when you want to leave home for shopping, yeah, you must be careful. Eh? Sometimes there are many offers available. Yeah? So if you want to leave home to go for shopping, make sure that you prepare the list of things that you wanted to buy. And when you do preparation, during the time that you're doing the preparation, make sure that you know what are the items that you really need. What are the items that you can afford? Or is there any cheaper alternative? For example, let's say you go for expensive mall, for example, you may get the same shirt maybe somewhere outside the mall. Maybe we have near my house, we call it Pasar Kambing.
Pasar Kambing?
Yeah, my wife loves to go to Pasar Kambing.
So it's to reject perhaps the impulse buys, but focus on a list and stick to your list, correct?
Yes, correct. You must have discipline ourselves in personal spending. Next, when we go for shopping, you must be a smart shopper, because everywhere there are offer. So if everywhere they are offered, do we need to buy all the items that are being offered? And the offer also very tempting, if you can see. Yeah? They offer for you up to 70%. If you're looking at it, wow, 70%, how much you can save?
It's always also the buy two, free one. That's terrible. I always get suckered into that.
So if you go on to 70%, but because of the offer 70% and you buy more than what you need, then you are already spending more than what you need to spend. So this is, you must be careful with this, the temptation of offered products. Yeah?
Now, beyond the spending, when it comes to the festive seasons, often it's accompanied by gaji that comes in earlier, right? And perhaps some special bonuses. Now, it's one thing for employers to offer that, but as employees, should we be asking for those advances, you think?
Yeah. On the taking the cash advance, yeah? These are the big issues here. One of the big items here about taking cash advance, because employer will offer the salary earlier than the actual date.
Yeah, usually that's the case.
And there are two, I prefer to put it at two part, because taking cash advance, some of them, they are taking cash whereby they ask from the employer to give them advance first, because their employer may be very good in personal financial management. They may not want to expose their employee to heavy spending, so they try to find a way to curb them. Maybe they do some delay on certain amount of money. So that will be a very good employer. But most employer will give the advance first, the money in advance. So they will have another period which is longer than 30 days before you get your next salary.
Great for the festive period, but after Raya, then you might find you're quite short at the end of the month after
Raya. Correct. And worrying part, you may end up got to have a meal in the family together with only a Maggi. Be careful with that.
Jangan makan Maggi saja at the end of the month.
Correct.
Ask, Anwar, so as opposed to say maybe taking cash advance or getting your salary earlier, would it be wise to dip into your savings to spend for Raya? Would you maybe take out some money or liquidate some assets? What do you think?
Okay. What we need to cultivate in our personal financial management is that saving. Once we receive any amount of salary in every month, we must put aside at least minimum 10% of whatever you receive. This must be done, doesn't matter whether it is Raya or no Raya. So this is must be, for example, you receive salary for Raya early, you must set aside the 10%. So, and that 10% is for when you wanted to use for special occasion and whatnot, you can dip into that. But you must limit to certain amount. And it should not exhaust all the amount that you save.
Right. Yeah. What about accessing other sources of funds? For example, credit cards. What are some pitfalls and what should we avoid when it comes to using credit cards, especially during the festive season?
Yeah. This is another killer strategy. Yeah. Why I said killer strategy? Because there are many people found themselves trapped in this credit card usage. Yeah? Because the credit card usage, if you know, the interest can go up to 11-18% per annum, which is very expensive. And if we go and purchase item with the credit card, without putting certain limit, for example, limit on our ability to spend from our income.
Right.
So if you want to spend using credit card, it's okay. But you do not spend more than the income that you earn within that particular month.
So to have kind of a mental cap, and then you just do not exceed that cap.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Right. So that you, when you want to pay back, you do not pay after the due date. Make sure you pay before the due date, so that there's no interest charge on that particular credit card.
We're speaking to Anwar Shuaib, Head of Islamic Finance Planning with VKA Wealth Planners, right here on Ringgit and Sense. After this, we're going to come back and take a look at what you should be doing with all that duit raya you've collected. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us. This is The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han. This is the Ringgit and Cents show, the show that's all about personal finance. And joining us today is Anwar Shuib, Head of Islamic Financial Planning with VKA Wealth Planners. We're talking about how to get your finances ready, Raya ready, as we take a look at making a checklist before you overspend or to stop you from overspending. Now, Anwar, one of the biggest, my biggest big ticket expenditure items this Raya was my balik kampung expenses. I unfortunately bought my plane ticket far too late, and I know I overpaid or I paid far too much for it. How can we make sure that we're, you know, when we're planning our balik kampung trip, to make sure that it's done prudently?
Okay. This is what people normally do. They try to plan it early. This is, I believe, Malaysian quite good at that too.
Check all the public holidays
in advance.
Check all
the public holidays and then make sure they're booking for their leave.
That's true.
The date of their leave and so forth. And then plan for purchasing the ticket, what date and so forth. Okay, for example, if you look at the people in Kelantan, for example, and if you look at the flight trip for KL Kelantan, it's the most trip that they have compared to any other place in Malaysia. Yeah, I mean local trips. Yeah, so you may get a cheaper price if you were to book earlier. For example, a few months earlier, I had a chance for when I wanted to go travel to Jakarta with my whole family, 6 of us all together. I managed to get a ticket at 400 odd ringgit for 6 person to and fro.
Wow, that is a good deal.
Yes.
And how many months in advance did you buy that ticket?
About 3 months in advance, yeah.
Okay, wow. So forward planning is key because, you know, peak season like this, the prices go up.
Yeah,
so
correct.
Plan in advance.
Plan in advance. Also, your holiday time, you must plan because you must make sure that your leave and your flight ticket date must be in tally. Yeah, otherwise you will never enjoy your holiday. Yeah, so that is the things that you must be careful. So be it airline, be it train, it can be train ticket, it can be ETS, it can be your bus ticket, whatever it is, you must prepare in advance, purchase it early. Then we're looking at another things that you travel by car. There's another issue, you may be caught in the traffic jam. Okay, so now we have all the electronics, for example, Google Map and so forth. That's what I always do, and I normally spend less time traveling. How do I manage to do that? I make sure that when there are traffic jam, I don't move my family from the house, make sure we are staying in the house, spend time with the family, rather than we stuck in the traffic jam and we waste more petrol. So, and sometimes we need to stop by at R&R and spend more money eating there.
Just to, I guess, escape the congestion,
yes,
right? The traffic.
Yes.
All right. Well, okay, so now that we've got the checklist of things to do before Raya, after Raya, when you've got all the Duit Raya, you kumpul all your Duit Raya, or maybe even your kids' Duit Raya, what are some of the practical things that you should do with that money? I mean, this is a pile of money that can be used for savings or investment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. When we're looking at the money that we have, for example, kids will be happy. Some of them will get hundreds of ringgit.
Do you let your kids keep their Duit Raya, or do you pull it together and, you know, invest on their behalf?
Oh, okay. My wife is a person that very particular on this particular area to educate children.
Oh, great.
So what she will do, because normally wife relate to the kids, so this is how they are more closer. So what she will do, she will make sure that they whatever money that they receive, they put into the amanah saham. So this amanah saham will give a good return. At least there are certain amount of security there. Because the children may not know how the fluctuation of market. So if I want to expose them to unit trust fund other than Amanah Saham that offered by PMB, they may not be able to manage their personal finance. Right. So I expose the children to Amanah Saham National first, or Amanah Saham Bumi Putra first. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a very good tip, as opposed to just hanging onto it in pure cash form, which doesn't give you interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go after some kind of stable assets, right?
Yes, correct. And for the adults, because I mentioned the amount that to do the saving, the adults also need to save money from every amount of salary that they receive or whatever fees they receive or anything that they receive every month. They must make sure that they put it properly into this kind of fund, for example, private retirement scheme. Why I wanted to highlight the private retirement scheme, because the take-up is still slow in Malaysia. Mm. And it should not be like that, because PRS, private retirement scheme, is the one that to prepare for our future retirement. And private retirement scheme normally can give a better return. Why I say so? Dedicated private retirement scheme fund, normally they can be managed better by the fund manager, because once you place the money inside there, you cannot withdraw. Mm. So that allow the fund manager to easily manage their investment better compared to the normal unit trust fund, which you can withdraw at any time. And because of that, they need to prepare more cash to be withdrawn by the participant in the later days.
Isn't EPF enough? Are you saying we have our EPF allocations and on top of that, we should go invest in PRS as well?
Yes. EPF is something that compulsory already from us, whereby our salary will be deducted. And employer also contribute to that. If you can save more than what is the compulsory amount from your EPF, then you can negotiate with your employer to contribute more than that amount, the compulsory amount. That will be good. Yes, good point that Hans highlight just now about EPF also. Yeah, but that is a compulsory. But PRS is not compulsory. It is optional. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, not many people really contribute themselves to PRS. Mm. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to this duit raya or this extra income, right? Mm-hmm. This is not part of our salary.
Yeah,
not
it's
part
kind of a bit of a bonus, isn't it? Yeah.
When it becomes this, mini durian runto of sorts, right? Can we take more risk with that money, or should we still be perhaps a bit
same
more cautious?
Same risk profile,
Okay. Yes, for youngsters, they can take more risk. But if you're looking at people that receiving the duit raya, normally they are too young to manage their own personal investment. Yeah? So I do not encourage, if they wanted to put everything in the unit trust fund for the money which normally the young age, the teenagers, because they don't really know about investment itself. So they need a lot of guide from their parents. And furthermore, if the parents are not exposed to investment, and then for them to expose to unit trust, unit trust, we have a volatility, right? They can go up, they can go down. But if they don't have the stomach for it, they may withdraw when the fund go down. But the fund go down, maybe for a temporary period, because they don't understand the investment themselves, they may withdraw at the lower price.
I have to say though, duit raya was my first exposure to learning to save and to invest as a child, right? Yeah. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to, I guess, teach children about the value of money, the necessity of saving and investment, but also a little bit of kind of financial literacy, right? Yeah. What exactly does Amanah Saham do? It became such a big thing to keep your money in this account and watch it grow as you grow up. Right.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other asset classes then we can consider? So there's Amanah Saham, you mentioned, PRS. Yeah. What else?
Okay, we do have Amanah Hartanah Bumi Putra. This is for Bumi Putra. So whereby is quite safe and quite good return you can receive from there, because they only put the money into property. Because the requirement by the regulator stated that Amanah Hartanah, be it REITs, REITs is Real Estate Investment Trust, you only need to make sure that this particular fund, more than 50% of it is in property asset or landed asset. Mm. So you cannot have in other type.
Last question here then. Yeah. So with the do it right that we get, what's a good ratio for us to spend, enjoy, versus how much we should set aside and invest? 50-50?
Yeah, since Duit Raya is something that come once in the year, so you must be careful that not to spend more than 50% is considered quite high. I would really encourage that 30% is the most for you to spend for something that you want to buy, if you want to spend something from the Duit Raya. And the balance 70% should be in the saving, because you may need that in the future when you wanted to go to universities, or you may want to spend your holiday during your university break or whatnot. So maybe you need to encroach into that some money from that savings. Yeah.
All right, and on that note, we want to say a big thank you to Anwar Shuib, Head of Islamic Financial Planning with VKA Wealth Planners. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And Selamat Hari Raya to you, and hope you have a safe trip home. You've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han, signing off for The Morning Run, and we want to wish everyone
Selamat Hari Raya.
Maaf Zahir Batin, everyone. Stay tuned to the 10 o'clock news bulletin after this and Enterprise, BFM 89.9. Jom Balik Kampung.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.